This is the Wall Street update of World Business Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Mike Johnson. A short burst of inconsequential information. That's how Twitter founder Jack Dorsey chose to define his microblogging service when it was launched back in 2006. These days, the word inconsequential could also be applied to Twitter's growth in users. The company, which floated on Wall Street in 2013, has just revealed that it had 320 million active users in the last quarter. That's about the same number as the quarter before. So, what does that tell us about Twitter today? I asked Amy Vernon, a New York-based social media consultant.
They need to do something in order to grow. The thing is, there is a barrier to entry in Twitter that is not as understandable immediately on how to use it as you know, a Facebook or an Instagram.
So what can Twitter do about this? If its growth has plateaued, where does it go from here? Does it start to decline now?
It could. It's really interesting because I use Twitter in a lot of different ways, and one of the ways I use it is actually live tweeting TV. There's a couple of shows each, you know, part of the year that I'm live tweeting. And the conversations I have with people when I'm live tweeting are just utterly different and utterly different people than when I'm, you know, live tweeting a conference, or I'm just using it throughout the day, sharing interesting stories, funny things, whatever. I don't think Twitter has ever really figured out how to capture those types of users for more than a one-off. And there are a lot of, like, quote-unquote regular people, you know, people who are not in the industry who use Twitter but sort of get turned off because it is cumbersome. And that's where I think if Twitter wants to really grow is to figure out not what the hardcore users want, because we're extremely vocal and we'll tell them whether they want us to or not, but to really figure out why other people are or are not using it and how to get them more interested.
What's your instinct, though, about the way this will go? Do you think Twitter is destined to be niche, particularly when you look at Facebook with more than 1.5 billion active users, or can it ever become as big as Facebook?
You know, once upon a time I would have said yes, that they could become as big as Facebook, but Facebook is so ubiquitous that it's a very different thing. I really believe that Twitter can be more than niche, but they need to really understand how people are using it.
Social media consultant Amy Vernon speaking to me from New York. December's decision by the U.S. Central Bank to increase interest rates for the first time since 2006 captured headlines across the world. Since then, though, financial markets have been in turmoil because of fears about the strength of the global economy. Appearing before Congress, the bank's chair, Janet Yellen, has now suggested that with financial markets the way they are, another rate rise may not happen again anytime soon.
We are watching very carefully what's happening in global financial markets. There would seem to be increased fears of recession risk. We have not yet seen a sharp drop-off in growth, either globally or the United States, but we certainly recognize that global market developments bear close watching. And I want to make clear that monetary policy is not on a preset course.
Janet Yellen. Some, though, were disappointed that she didn't explicitly rule out more interest rate rises. Among them, one of our regular commentators, Doug McIntyre, at the financial news website 24/7 Wall Street.
Central bankers tend to want to speak in a muddy way and, you know, let an oracle take care of how it should be interpreted. But there's something to be said, and this happens a lot with the European Central Bank, just come out and say, look, we have a problem, and we understand we're going to have a problem, so you can count on us to help out. She didn't do that.
Well, why do you think that was then?
Sometimes, and I think this is true of her, she and the governors believed that they had set a course toward the end of last year that meant there would be a rate increase at least every quarter. And they made a very convincing case for why that ought to happen. And in some ways, it appears now as if they were very, very wrong, and that's over a short period of time. So it may be that they're just doing what they can to ease off their earlier statements instead of very quickly saying, you know what, the world's changed, and it changed fast.
Do you think they should be saying that the world's changed and it's changed fast?
I do. I think that, you know, the sell-off has been brutal, so it's not as if, you know, it doesn't have to go down another 10%. It's bad enough as it is. And there's a great deal of evidence that the U.S. economy has slowed and that some of the other world economies have slowed even more.
What does this all say about the bank's decision to increase interest rates in December then for the first time, I think, since 2006? Was that the wrong decision?
I think in hindsight it probably was, but it was such a tiny increase that you haven't seen it in the cost of corporate borrowing, in car loans and mortgages. So at this point, there was no damage done by that.
Doug McIntyre. Well, the Dow finished the day down 0.6% at 15,914. London shares, though, went the other way. They finished up 0.7% at 5,672. A brief check on the oil price. Slipped again. March New York Light crude was down 61 cents. It now stands at $27.33 a barrel.
Thank you for downloading from the BBC World Service. You can find a whole world of information from science, art, business and technology. Just go to bbcworldservice.com/podcasts.